We are blessed today
to have a missionary, and he's going to come and tell us all about what's been happening on the field. The reason we have missionaries come when they're around is so that we can be better informed and be better partners with them in the ministry. I've enjoyed every time the shoots have been in town to be able to talk to them and hear and get excited about all the different elements and things that they're doing in ministry. And so, David, you are welcome to the stage. Let's welcome David here this morning. Thank you, sir. Take your time. Do you need anything else?
No.
You all good? Okay.
See if this thing works the way they said it did. Oh, it works. Wow. Glad to be here this morning. We don't get here very often because we live on the other side of the ocean. And the last time we were here was 2 years ago. I can't remember the first time I came to a service in Oakwood because I was probably 1 week old. I was born on a Sunday morning, so I suppose that the next Sunday I was in church, and we were part of the Oakwood Church already back then. It had just gotten started, but I don't remember that part. I can remember two different pastors before Bob's service, though. So that kind of goes back. Yeah. But in any case, we're very thankful for the Oakwood Church. When I decided because the Lord sort of pushed very clearly. But when the Lord led me to the mission field 48 years ago, the Oakwood Church was the very first one to stand up and say, we will support you. And in over 48 years on the mission field now, well, 48 years and a few days now, because I went overseas to stay on November 15th, 48 years ago. So it's been just over 48 years. In all that time, Oakwood has never missed a month of supporting us. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. This church will always be special to me, not only because I grew up in this church, but because it's one of the churches that has been the most faithful throughout the years in supporting our work. I don't want to call you a liar in front of everybody, but I'm not going to do quite what you said. Okay. Well, then you're not going to be upset. Because I know it's traditional for missionaries to come and tell you about what they're doing and what God's doing on the field. And that's good. I mean, I love to talk about what God's doing in Europe, in Africa. I could tell you stories all day about transformed lives, about all kinds of things. But I would rather talk about some very remarkable Christians who really had an impact in church history, but that you've probably never heard of. Because I think that they have something to teach us today. Now, to give you a little context on that, I love to put things in their context. I was taught in Bible school, you always have to put things in context, and I always like context. The Old Testament already makes it very clear that God intends the salvation of all nations. And Jesus was very explicit about it after he rose from the dead and before he went back to be with the Father. He told his apostles very clearly, go make disciples of every nation. And these guys were enthusiastic. Yes, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died and rose again. We want to share the message of the gospel. But they shared it with Jews. I mean, after all, the Jews are God's chosen people, right? So the gospel is for the Jews. Jesus said, sure, you start there. That's where you are, so you start there. But the goal is every nation. But they stayed with the Jews. And so God decided to stir things up a little bit. And one day, he kind of gave the Apostle Peter a kick in the pants and said, you got to go over and talk to a Roman centurion. Now, the Romans are not only not Jews, they're not very welcome in Israel. I mean, these are the invaders who are running our nation instead of letting us be free. So a Roman centurion is not exactly the kind of a place you want to go. And he says, you're going to go talk to him because these people, he and his family, are expecting someone to come tell them the message of Jesus Christ. And it took a little persuading, but Peter finally went over there. And he shared the gospel with them. And incredible things happened. I mean, a whole bunch of people came to the Lord. Wow, this is good news. And so Peter comes back to Jerusalem. And the church, instead of saying, that many people came to the Lord, that's great, they said, you went into a Gentile's house and you ate with him. Now, there is nothing in the law of Moses that forbids going into a Gentile's house or eating with them. That was simply a tradition that they had added on. You did that. And here Peter is all excited about having seen a great victory in evangelism, even though he had to have some persuasion to kind of get there himself. But instead of the others celebrating that with him, they just want to accuse him. You shouldn't have done that. That was not what we wanted. So Peter explains the whole thing to them and shows them what God did. And I'd like to read you some verses in Acts chapter 11 of what happened when Peter had finally made it clear to everybody, God did a mighty work here. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Ah, the church has finally understood that the message is for all nations and not just for the Jews, right? Verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. How many times does God have to tell them it's for everybody before they catch the message? Jesus had said it to the apostles. He had really shoved Peter out in front so that he would share it with the Gentiles. Peter came back and explained it to everybody when they accused him, and they finally agreed. And then they just keep doing what they've always done. Does that sound familiar? We've always done it that way. So we always do it that way. Because if I go preach the message to the Gentiles, I might get accused the way Peter did. And besides that, the problem with Gentiles is that they're Gentiles. They're not our people. But I think one of the greatest verses in the history of missions is the next verse, verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Some of them. We don't even know who. A few men. Some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began speaking to Greeks also. We might know the name of one of them, because sometime later in the church in Antioch, we read in chapter 3, verse 1, that there was a man called Lucius of Cyrene. He might have been one of this initial group. We don't even know that. But even if he was one, that doesn't tell us much. This is a watershed moment in Christian history. This is the beginning of a trend that is going to change the world when they start saying, we will deliberately, explicitly, voluntarily, intentionally go toward the Gentiles, toward other nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a few years later, a certain man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who also was called Paul, working in the church there in Antioch, went out to the Gentiles and became known as the apostle to the Gentiles. Today, there are more Gentiles than Jews in the Christian church. They're still Jews, and praise God for that. I mean, the gospel is for every nation, not just the Jews, but the Jews also. But there are millions, tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of Gentiles in the Christian church today. And it all goes back to these few men who dared to say, we will put our priority on obeying the command of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to every nation. That encourages me. I've been in the ministry for a while now. I mean, 48 years is not yet a record or even close, but it's getting up there. And I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen a huge transformation where suddenly everybody decides that they ought to do something different and change. And I've seen some pretty impressive changes over the years. But I've never seen it happen with everybody all at once. But what I have seen is that it doesn't take everybody. A few men whose names we don't even know chose to obey what God had shown them and say, we need to take the gospel to every nation. And God used them, and it says there in verse 21 that the Lord's hand was with them and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And that's just the initial reaction during the years and centuries that followed. Because those men chose to do that, the gospel got even as far as Oakwood, Michigan. It never would have gotten here if those men, well, that's not true. God would have used somebody else, but it never would have gotten here if somebody hadn't dared to step out and say, I won't do just what everybody else is doing. These were some of the most notable men in church history. And they go almost entirely unnoticed. Very few people read through Acts 11 and realize how important these men were in church history. And the inspired record doesn't even tell us their names. Doesn't tell us anything about them. We know lots of things about men who followed in their paths. I mean, there have been some pretty impressive missionaries in church history. But the ones who started out saying, we will take the gospel to every nation, we don't know them. And that's what I want to talk to you about. It's nice to be noticed. These men were not noticed, but they were notable. I'm involved in a ministry that I think is being used by God and is making a difference, but I'm not famous. You get outside of Oakwood and Brown City, and almost nobody in this country has ever heard of me. None of my books are available in English. You're not going to see me on television. You're not going to hear me on the radio. You're not going to attend my conferences. And quite often, when we think of important Christians, we think of those who are famous. I remember in a missions conference many, many years ago, I think it was 1982, early 1982, hearing someone who had been a missionary in Africa, and I don't know what country. Today, I know enough about Africa. I've been to a number of African countries, and I would really want to know what country he was in. But back then, to me, Africa was just kind of Africa. So I can't tell you what country he was in. But he said something I have never forgotten. He said, because we're talking about American Christians. This was here in the States. It wasn't in Michigan. It was in Pennsylvania. But Pennsylvania is also part of the United States, okay? I know that we Michiganders think that Michigan is the center of the world, and it is, but sorry for those who like Ohio better. quite often we think that this is a great country because we are Christians and God blesses us because we're some of the best Christians around and we're really kind of the model of what Christians ought to be. And he told us, never forget that some of God's greatest saints walk barefoot in the jungle. And I have had the privilege of meeting men and women like that who walk literally barefoot in the jungle. I could tell you stories from Congo, from Madagascar, from places like that. We don't have jungles in France, okay? But since my work also takes me to Africa, I have met some people like that. People where I say, wow, their commitment to God just sort of puts me to shame. They live in poverty, desperate poverty. But they serve God continually. Because they chose to be among the few who say, I will put my priority not on making my life comfortable in this world, but in getting out there and making the gospel known. In France, where I've lived most of my life and where most of my ministry takes place, you could never imagine a church the size of Oakwood in a town the size of Oakwood. I mean, there aren't any churches in towns the size of Oakwood in France. Sylvia and I live in a town of almost 40,000 people. 40,000 people, and that's not a little town. There are 4 evangelical churches. And one of them is in the next town, but it's stuck right on. So you actually are talking about more than 40,000 people. 4 churches. And the biggest one has maybe 100 members. In this country, we have a lot of believers, a lot. We have incredible resources available, teaching resources, finances, people. I mean, we have everything it takes to turn the world upside down, and we aren't doing it because too often, it's easier to just continue on with your comfortable little life. I'm a good Christian, and we define good Christian in terms of what we don't do. I'm a good Christian. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't steal. But what are you doing? I'd like to ask you a question. What are you doing in this world? Why are you still here? Because if you're born again, God could have taken you home long ago, and everything would be far better than it is now. I mean, I'm pretty happy in my life, but being with God would be incomparably better. I would be perfected in holiness. I would be transformed into the image of Christ. Stand before God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach, like Paul teaches. Everything would be great. Why am I still in this world? Why are you still in this world? Well, Jesus told us why we're still in this world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are here to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And too often, we settle for just doing things like we've always done. We're comfortable. We're not bad people. I mean, I don't think there's too many bank robbers. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I don't think there's too many bank robbers. I don't think there's too many people out there who are committing crimes and doing things like that. We're good people. But how many people dare to say, my priority is to advance the kingdom of God, and I will use everything I have, my money, my time, my knowledge, everything that God has given me, I will use it in whatever way he shows me to make a difference for his kingdom. I won't settle like those Christians who went everywhere because the persecution sort of kicked them out of Jerusalem, so they went everywhere else, and they were good Christians. They shared the gospel, but only to Jews, because that's comfortable. What we need today is people who dare to say, I will stand up, I will make a difference. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will go to a foreign mission. You might. When I dropped out of Michigan Tech, stopped my engineering studies to serve the Lord, I did not intend to be a missionary. I didn't even think about it. I just told God, I want to serve you. And he finally got it through my thick head that he wanted me to serve him on the mission field. And so I told him sort of reluctantly, I don't really want to be a missionary, but if you call me to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary. Today, you couldn't pay me to give up missions. I mean, as long as God gives me strength, I want to be out there. Not because I feel like I have to, because I don't have to, but because I want to. And that also is grace. It's a grace to be able to serve God. And that's why instead of talking to you about what's happening in France, what's happening in Madagascar, what's happening, and there's some great things happening. I mean, I'm really excited to see some of the things that God is doing. I've seen young people, older people, churches transformed by the Word of God. And it's great. But I decided that this morning it was more important, instead of talking about all that, to talk about us here. We are in this world in order to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Because if we're not making a difference for Jesus Christ, there's no use in being here. Because if it's just to have a happy life and enjoy things, I could do that better with God. If he's got me still here, it's so that I can continue carrying on the work that he's given me. Like Paul wrote to the Philippians, best to go and be with God, but it's more necessary to continue on in this life because of the ministry I can have for you. That's not saying that everybody needs to become a minister, that everybody needs to become a missionary, but it does mean that everyone who is serious in their Christian faith should be able to say, I want it to be my priority to advance God's work in whatever way he shows me. It might be through giving. It might be in other ways that I can support missions. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, no missionary could survive on the mission field without a team that's behind him. But don't choose to be part of the team just because it's safer than being out in front. Choose that if that's what God leads you to do. One of the things that I've learned over the years is it's better not to tell God what I don't want to do. I will serve you where you want, how you want, because you're in charge. So that's my challenge for you this morning. A few men, unnoticed, but among the most notable Christians in church history, transformed world missions, and we don't even know their names. You're not going to read their stories in books and articles and things like that. That doesn't matter. They dared to take a stand to carry out the words of Christ. Take the gospel to every nation. And that's my challenge for every one of us here this morning. Do you dare to take a stand, to be different, and to say, I want my life to count for God. I will not just settle for being a good Christian. I want to be used by God so that His word can go forward everywhere, where I am, and to the very ends of the earth. Amen.
Dave and Sylvia, we are so thankful for your work and your faithfulness over the 48 years, and thankful for even Oakwood being behind missions. We have a missions team that meets regularly, and they're in contact with our missionaries, and I'm so thankful for them and their work. But this morning, he gave us a challenge this morning. And as I think about even myself, you know, I want to be this kind of person. And I think about even me and the impact of people that have made an impact in my life. You know, it was my Sunday school teacher when I was 6, 7 years old, you know, in the trenches, sharing the Word of God with us kids. And that's why I came to Christ. It wasn't some flashy Bible teacher somewhere for me personally, but it was that faithful teacher, you know, sharing God's word. And we have opportunities here like that at our church, you know, to share the gospel with kids in our children's ministries and Treehouse, and opportunities to be faithful in those things. Even this Christmas, you know, earlier I had challenged you to make a list of people around you that need Christ. I would encourage you, even as application for this message today, that you would kind of go home and think about people in your sphere of influence. Could be a coworker, it could be your boss, it could be a family member, or even a brother or sister, or even one of your kids that need to hear the gospel. And think about those people and begin to pray for them, but not just pray for them, but take the opportunity to share the gospel with them as the Lord were to give you that opportunity. And that's what he was talking to us about this morning, is just being faithful. And he asked us the question, what are you doing in this world? What are you doing for Christ? Have you surrendered your life through your occupation and even through your role as husband or wife or children, child, daughter, brother, to use those roles that God has given you in this world to glorify Him and to share the gospel? You know, God does specifically call people to go around the world, and He called Dave and Sylvia to that mission, and we do need people to do that. And if God has called you to do that, you should step forward and do that. But we need people even right here in Oakwood, in Ortonville, Oxford, Lapeer, Lake Orion, Clarkston, right here in our community, sharing the gospel with people. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be faithful? You can be a normal person, and God can use you if you allow your heart to be flexible and mendable for God to work in you that way. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I just thank you for the gospel. I thank you for lives that are being changed right in front of us here at Oakwood. And Father, I thank you for people that we see coming to Christ. And I'm thankful, Father, for even seeing people at Oakwood that influence other people toward the gospel. And we just ask that you would continue to raise up more. Father, help us to be faithful as the Great Commission tells us to, as we are going, to make disciples. Father, as we go to the grocery store, as we go to school, as we go to work, Father, help us to live out the gospel in a way where people see our lives, but also as we have opportunity to speak about who you are and the goodness of God. Father, help us not to just be thankful for 1 week, but to be living a life of thanksgiving, that we just speak about who you are because you have made such an impact in us. And Father, I thank you for the faithful people in my life that have made a difference in me. Even that faithful Sunday school teacher, Father, that shared the gospel that day when I went home and received Christ. I don't even remember who that teacher was, but they were faithful. Father, thank you for the other faithful people in our lives. Thank you for the people that were faithful in Dave's life as he came to hear the gospel and trusted you. And even as we were to hear many of the stories of the people within this church of how they heard the gospel and their lives were changed, Father, help us to share that same story with other people. And we ask, Father, that we would make a difference in the world one person at a time with the influence that you have given us. Thank you for the power of your word and the power of the Spirit and the power of the gospel, knowing that you do your work and that we're faithful ambassadors that have been called to share your message. We thank you and praise you for this time together that we've had. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be a church that loves you and cares about you and cares about people. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to remind you of Tuesday night to come out for pie, prayer and praise at 6:30. And then also at 12:30, that Spotify playlist is going to be released. So you can go to our social media and kind of check that out and kind of start listening to that. But you can't do it till after Thanksgiving. Well, I'll give you permission to do that because it's coming out today. So you are dismissed. Have a great week.